Hey, it is July 2nd, 2024. The year is halfway over. What are you doing with your life? I'm Glenn Rubenstein. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and I am not joined by El Flobo Loco tonight. I'm back with George Hermosa.
George, oh, hey, everyone.
Put down the book. We're on the air. Show some professionalism.
Wow. No. Sorry, just... Yes. Hi. Thank you for having me. I am George, and my air conditioner is not working. And so it is very hot here in Los Angeles, but I can only imagine it's even probably even hotter in Vegas.
Yes. And people don't know this. George Hermosa is literally the poster child for literacy.
This is true. They don't pay me much, but yes, this is all true.
Yeah.
By the way, this book is very fascinating. Anybody ever read it? Or did you just watch the, or did you guys just watch the movie version of the book? The highly acclaimed movie, apparently.
Well, tonight, speaking of the acclaimed, they're on Wednesdays and Fridays. Tonight, we're going to talk about NXT, the go-home show for Heatwave. Fitting. Insensitive, though, perhaps.
You know what that means?
Yes, what's that?
Predictions!
Oh, yeah. Cool.
That was my attempt at a drum roll.
Okay. What's going on in the news? We'll talk about predictions at the end of the show, but what's going on in the news?
So there has been a WWE tag team announced for Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 11 out in Brooklyn, New York. And that tag team is none other than former NXT tag team champions, the Creed Brothers. We saw a little bit more WWE featured on indie shows this past WrestleMania weekend. We saw Shayna Baszler, and even though she is announced for the next Bloodsport, now we have a new faces going on to the Bloodsport universe, I guess you could say. And that's Julius and Brutus Creed. These two guys, no stranger to the amateur wrestling mats, and now they're going into the... I guess you can say the indie version of NXT Underground, I guess you can say. But that should be fun. Bloodsport, I don't know if anybody's out there has been to a Bloodsport. I was there at the one last year for the WrestleMania 39 weekend. I was there, and it's a very, very fun match, a very, very fun show. There was they just had one in Japan about like a week ago. It was Moxley against Barnett, and I just saw a lot of pictures of Moxley with blood all over him, I guess, no surprise. It's cool things happening in the world of the indies.
I mean, first, it goes without saying, Kumite above all. I feel like it's a little misleading. If there's no Kumite chant at Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. Also, it's funny, it's Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. Like, to distinguish it from all the other Bloodsports, we all know Kenny Rogers' Bloodsport. You know, it was quite popular. Excellent fried chicken as well. The name Josh Barnett's Bloodsport always tickles me.
Tickles your funny bone?
Yeah, it's just funny. It's just funny you put the name in front of it.
I think it's amusing that he hasn't had, I want to say, with New Line Cinema coming after him for the name. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are thinking, ooh, Jean-Claude Van Damme against, what's his name? Kung Pao?
I believe it was Kung Lo.
Kung Po, there we go. Kung Po.
Kung Po, yeah. Kung Pao, though. That's
Kung Pao, yeah.
Also, excellent chicken.
I'm kind of curious. A lot of the non-wrestling fans are seeing maybe they'll see like a random flyer. Maybe if they do it right, they'll see some flyer on their car. They're in a flyering process. Like, ooh, this is interesting. Oh, wait, this isn't a movie. But yeah. I mean, I guess, like I said, it's Barnett's probably homage to the movie that we've all heard many, many great things about. And we all love the movie. I've never heard anybody that doesn't like the Bloodsport Van Damme movie. Either way, this is all pretty cool. We are in a very, everybody likes to call eras. We had the Attitude Era. A lot of people called it the Renaissance Era. I just like to call it the cool era because we're seeing a lot of cool things going on in wrestling, especially in 2024.
No, and I think, all kidding aside, it's good that Josh Barnett's certainly making a name for himself with Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. And it's a good differentiator from, the Bubba Gump Bloodsport. Dave and Buster's Bloodsport, Ruth's Chris Bloodsport, which is kind of a little pricey, but quite popular as well. Although I've heard P.F. Chang's Bloodsport, up and comer.
I'm sure there's going to be a Bloodsport coming up in your neck of the woods, coming up in April of next year.
Oh, Josh Burnett's going to track me down. Like, I heard those jokes you were making about me. No, I'm sure it's just, you know, the Kumite is very sacred to me, George. I've told the story on the podcast many a time that I saw the movie Bloodsport as a child on VHS, as was the style of the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I was having dinner with my father and his friend, who was like a martial arts expert, who had trained in the arts of the Far East. And I'm asking him questions like, tell me about this Kumite. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, Frank Dukes, the champion of the Kumite. And he's like, there's no such thing as the Kumite. And I'm like, that's how secretive it is. That you can't even acknowledge its existence to me. And, you know, I think Frank Dukes doesn't get his flowers for inventing a completely fictitious tournament that he was the champion of.
And God bless him.
Yes.
God bless him.
Yes. Cool, though, that I like the WWE is being so friendly and playing nice with the others.
Yeah, I mean, I think about this all the time. Like, there's really nothing for them to lose. Like, it and I'm not, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are just going to be like, oh, they're just doing it just so they can feel like they're the saving grace of pro wrestling. They want to feel like, you know, doing like a little charity work and whatnot. But, you know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, we're going to
phrase it that way.
I'm saying, like, that's the chatter that I'm hearing a lot of online. Like, oh, like, you know, they're just using TNA. Like, I don't know. I think that's glass half empty. I just like to think that they just want to just have fun in wrestling again. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with playing nice with others. Like, I just feel like a lot of people just want to find the bad in everything. And I'm just like, no, man, this is supposed to be fun. The things that when we were kids, and we were like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if just some random wrestler showed up at the indies? Like, we saw it remember in 2011 when Punk won the WWE championship and he walked out, you know, he was gone for the whole 8 days, and he showed up at like a random indie show, mm-hmm. like a couple days before he showed up on Raw. And that was just, this isn't new to the WWE. They've been doing this for years. We saw them back in the day doing it with like a Smoky Mountain or USWA and ECW. This is just the 2024 way of doing things.
Yes. In fact, tomorrow on the Heatwave media call, you know, I coin phrases and names on this podcast quite often, George. Tonight, I see Frasier and Axiom tweeting with Fraxium references, and I'm like, I say things enough, and then they catch on. So tomorrow, I would like everyone on the media call to ask HBK, Forbidden Door, nay, the Friendly Door. WWE's Friendly Door.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about it today too, where they should. I'm sure the loyalty is very much there, but AEW should try to get the host of Shark Week to show up, and just that one time, just like, hey, we got the host of Shark Week. All right, guys, well, watch Shark Week this week, and then that's it. We'll never see John Cena ever again in AEW, except for that one time. But just imagine if that were to happen, like. It would, the internet would literally just explode.
Yes. I mean, maybe wrestling Twitter, a small portion of wrestling Twitter,
a large portion of wrestling Twitter,
and Reddit.
But a small portion of the world.
Of the world. Yes. But you know, HBK, you know what his motto is come and knock on our door.
We'll be or waiting
Matt
for you.
Okay, good. You guys gonna say I was gonna Matt Coon or Flobo would have gotten that. I'm glad you got that, George.
Oh, come on. Give me some credit.
Yes. Well, you know, you're
really old. I'm old as well.
Okay. Yes. I want all just references. I want people to pop Shawn Michaels on that that media call tomorrow. So let's talk about what else is going on in the news.
Three more stars, or actually, shall I say, three more NXT stars follow Tatum Paxton's lead and cross the line. I guess that's what they call it now. They're crossing the line onto TNA Impact at the Against All Odds pay-per-view this past weekend. There was another open challenge. I'm sorry, that was Against All Odds was... The names are confusing. I'm not even going to try to lie. But we saw, you know, previously that it being answered by Tana Paxley in this past pay-per-view. We saw it get answered by Izzy Dame, somebody who we saw wrestle tonight on NXT. We also saw appearances at the tapings by Charlie Dempsey, by and Miles Bourne. So we're seeing a lot more crossover in terms of, you know, WWE or NXT and TNA, TNA and NXT. Like I said, it's all really, really cool. Like, really, there's really nothing more to say than that. I mean, there's plenty to say, but it's just like, there's, if people want to find the negative, you're going to find the negative. And that just goes to show more. That says a lot more so about them. Because I'm sure there's a lot more aspects in pro wrestling that they're negative in. For me, I love it. My only criticism when it comes to these kind of crossover things is I don't want the shows to be defined by that. It shouldn't. The show should not be revolved around who's coming in next. Because at the end of the day, you're going to run out of people that can show up on whatever brand they want. You know, they show up on, and it should be more so about the show itself and less about, oh, you know, I'm going to watch only so I can see who's going to debut or who's going to show up this time. Who's going to cross the line?
True. And Tatum Paxley showed up again at Against All Odds, and she said, take a look at me now. I'm a little extra tonight. Look, I think it's exciting. Cross the line, that's good. Cross the line's good terminology. But no, I think that it's you know what's good about it is whatever Jordynne Grace, whatever Mickie James, whatever anyone got compensated by WWE for showing up at TNA, TNA has earned 10 times that value in getting people to check out TNA.
Yeah, especially what's their thing called? Impact Plus?
Yes.
I heard they've gotten a lot more subscribers in there, you know, which is great. Like I said, it's a win-win for a lot of people. WWE's at that point where they really have nothing to lose. It's like they're like the John Cena, where John Cena can come back, and he has come back, obviously, you know, for the past couple of years, and he hasn't won a one-on-one match since 2019. And we think nothing less of his legacy, of just his stardom and whatever it is. With that said, like, WWE can do anything that they want, and we're not gonna think like they're losing out in any way. They're not losing business because somebody showed up on TNA or you know,
no.
Or in some cases, is it DDT that AJ Styles is wrestling on?
Mm.
Oh no, he's wrestling on Pro Wrestling Noah, or is it ZO1? One of the Japanese promotions against Mara Fuji. You know, we have Io Sky wrestling, and I think they're both happening on July 13th, which is a week from Saturday. But again, like this is all just so cool. These are all things that we wish would happen a lot more like 10 years ago. And now, I mean, and for anybody that thinks like, oh, they're just not playing nice, or else they'd play with AEW, like, come on, let's be real. Like, it takes two to tango, but also like let them do that. Like, if I was AEW, I wouldn't want that kind of deal as well, because I wouldn't want the success of my show, when we saw it a couple months ago, I wouldn't want the success of my show to revolve around a WWE guy or girl, because now look at what happened. Then they're consistently being, I guess, blasted, because the highest rating that AEW got recently was the one that had CM Punk on it that didn't even work for them. So, you know, AEW, obviously they're trying to find their identity, and I think they're doing a good job. This isn't a bash AEW rant, because I think they're doing great. They had a great pay-per-view this past weekend. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, the WWE's playing well with others, because it makes a lot more sense too.
You know, I'm gonna say something deep and profound right now, so I want the audience to prepare themselves for that. TNA is like Dr. Pepper. It is not owned by Coke. It is not owned by Pepsi. In some markets, it's bottled at a Coke bottler. In some markets, it's bottled at a Pepsi bottler. Dr. Pepper does what's best for Dr. Pepper. You can't own it. You can't tame it. It is its own animal. That is TNA.
Do you think this is equivalent, or maybe more or less, to their, I guess you can say, partnership, maybe that's kind of pushing it, to what they had back in the day with ECW back in the mid to late 90s? Like, is that different than what we're seeing today with TNA?
I think that's greatly overstating the importance of TNA in the matter, but TNA has its diehard fan base, but this is the best thing that's happened to TNA in a while.
Because, I mean, I look back and, you know, this was a lot, speaking of the rise and fall of ECW, like a lot of the maybe narrative that was being mentioned then was WWE was more using ECW as a platform to bring in stars.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, there was so much talent in ECW and, you know, there was some, you know, things that went on with you know, Moles and WCW and whatnot. But we saw most of that ECW talent end up going to WWF, whether it's a Dudley's, Taz, Van Damme, Dreamer, you know, Rhino, just incredible. We saw so much of, and granted, WCW was gone by that time, to the point where now we're seeing, like, and I can almost guarantee there's probably no doubt that when their contract expired, when their contracts expire, Hendry and Jordan Grace are not going to, they're not going to AEW.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, look, it's an interesting narrative. And if we've learned anything in the last 4 years, controlling your narrative is more important than anything else.
I wonder, is that even still a thing?
They should get acquired.
Was it banked? Like, was Strowman like their main person? And once he came back to WWE, it was like, well, I guess there goes that.
I think people really wanted the opportunity to pay $200 to yell at Austin Aries.
Oh, wasn't there like a thing with the AOP that they were trying to put on some indie show somewhere overseas? And then there was some kind of like money issues and everybody didn't like them. And now they're back in WWE. I just think that's okay. Anyways, that's,
yeah, I'm sure it's been a weird couple of years, George.
We can do a search on Wrestling Inc. and I'm sure we can hear all about it or read all about it.
Well, what is going on with Moose?
So Moose, he was discussing opportunities in the NXT crossover. He quoted, "It's a big deal for TNA and it's a big deal for the guys who have been lucky enough to make that crossover and do stuff with them. I don't know much about it. I try not to look into those things and get my hopes up or think much about it. But whenever it happens, if it happens, I'm happy for my friends with Jordan and Joe, who has gotten a chance to do stuff with them. They did great. I mean, look at Joe, overnight star, not an overnight star. That guy's been working his ass off for like over 10 years after his appearance. And Frankie, you know, Frankie Kazarian, by the way, I'm miscalling him. He's a good friend of mine. And I try not to think about it. I try not to put my hopes up. I just do what I do until I hopefully get a call." So Moose, clearly he wants to maybe be somebody that crosses the line as well. And personally, I think it's only a matter of time. I think Moose has been great. He's been one of the unsung heroes of TNA for the past nearly a decade. And yeah, kudos to him. I think he's getting his flowers. He's the current TNA heavyweight champion. And like I mentioned, I want to say it's only a matter of time before we see TNA in some sort of WWE or NXT ring.
Yeah, we'll see. Speculation is exciting. Speculation is 90% of being a wrestling fan.
It's always fun. It's just fun to you know, this is something that we can always talk about, you know, whether it's here, whether with our friends, whether it's texting, whether it's, you know, some group chatting, group messaging. It's always like, especially in these kind of live settings, and we already know that this Sunday is going to be a hot crowd. Toronto is I feel like they're going to rise to the occasion that other American crowds don't when it comes to WWE shows. There'll be some definite yeeting this weekend in Toronto, but also you have some of this these home province heroes and Ethan Page and I was going to say Ty Dillinger and Sean Spears. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see some kind of TNA presence this weekend at Heatwave.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what happens. It's exciting. Speaking of which, tonight, NXT.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Jack Farmer with Wrestling Inc., and you know, plenty of pro wrestlers made their names at the Olympic Games. Kurt Angle, Mark Henry, even Ronda Rousey. I'll be watching this year's Olympics to see the pro wrestlers of tomorrow. And staying hydrated isn't just for the athletes, it's for those of us watching at home, too. That's why I pour Liquid IV into a glass of water for physical endurance, mental clarity, and overall well-being. One stick of Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients. It's easy to mix, and I love that it doesn't taste fake. Plus, 4 of the flavors are sugar-free. It's also great when I travel to a live event. A few sticks of Liquid IV in my bag guarantees I'll be at my best and that my head isn't pounding as the pyro goes off. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
NXT tonight, let's talk about what went down. The go home show for Heatwave happening this weekend. Wait, what day is Heatwave?
Sunday.
It's the day after Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Gone are the days where we'd see an NXT takeover the day before. And now it's looks like the NXT takeover is the WrestleMania of the weekend now.
Yeah. Weird. We open tonight with Jada Parker versus Meechan in what I think is one of the best street fights I've ever seen.
I don't know what it is about. I don't know what it is about Meechan, Mia Yim. Why is she, tell me I'm wrong. And if you are more than happy to disagree with me, Meechan does not work on the main roster.
Well, because they don't book her in spots like this. I mean, now granted, that being said, there was a time on this very podcast a few months ago where I said Meechan actually had the most competitive losses of almost anyone on the main roster. They were giving her matches that seemed like it would be a squash, but they were giving her like 2 to 3 minutes to show what she could do before she lost. She looked very strong in defeat.
So you're saying if she was booked on the main roster the way she's being booked now, because I think she's been booked amazingly, even dating back to the ladder match, which I thought she was great.
She was great in that.
She's
everything but the wins. Everything but the wins. That's the new Ben and Jerry's flavor. Everything but the wins.
You think, I mean, it's better than everything but the
wins. And Meechan sitting on it, just shrugging like, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Like, I hear her on the main roster, and I'm happy for her. You know, I've seen her kill it on the indies. I've seen her kill her in TNA as Jade. Yeah, you're
phenomenal. She's great.
I don't know. Does she kind of fall into that Zoe Stark or Karrion Kross syndrome where there's just something about it that maybe isn't connecting as much as we thought it would?
There is something very interesting in WWE, and this happens in NXT. It's like they see you as someone who is there to win matches or someone who is there to help get the reps in and make the people that win matches look good. And it's very, very pronounced when you notice it happen, you know, and then you notice like Natalya, they will give, and if I'm Natalya, this is my main reason maybe for not sticking around, is that they give Natalya a win every so often, but then Natalya is immediately back into that role. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think with Meechan, she's just not getting the wins. But tonight, that with the sock and whipping with the sock, yeah, like that was this was a fun street fight.
This
street
was fights great.
Normally super boring, and they bordered on overdoing it. But the slamming through the barricade through the wall, like Bugs Bunny, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna repeat a broken record or sound like a broken record or just praise all things Jada Parker.
Jada looks great. Sorry,
continue. Oh, Jada was great. How frustrated do you think it is for maybe some of the crew to be like, ugh, they broke the wall again? First Braun, now Jada. Like, now we gotta fix it again.
That's not how it works, George. They set up a breakaway wall. No one's out there with drywall right now.
So you think they just have, and I'm talking in the world of kayfabe, you think they just have a bunch of just random walls? All right, they broke one. Bring on the other one.
Yes, absolutely. That's where most of their budget goes.
I always want to do this like segment, by the way, like, because I always say in the land of kayfabe, but like say it like Conan O'Brien, like in the year 2000, but I'm like in the land of kayfabe, and just ask all these questions within the world of pro wrestling and just be like, oh, you know, do you think they all say hi to each other? You think like, where does the ref, you know, things like that? Just things I wonder all the time.
Or the faces and the heels, like they punch out in the clock and then they go get a drink together and they're just like, well,
yeah,
off shift for the night.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow at the salt mines.
It's like when you say like, oh, you know, last week you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm sure they all have each other's text, because I know that there's not a text thread, but kind of like how we do like in Slack. There's something like that for the wrestlers.
Going back to the curtain.
Or they kind of communicate, or they have a way to communicate. Do you think they're like, oh, last week, blah, blah, blah. But do you think during the week they just kind of text them like, hey, man, I'm coming for you on Monday. Don't think I forgot about you. Like, should we see these? I guess they do it on Twitter. But it's more personal. I feel like it's more personal when you text somebody, you know, when you talk smack about somebody through text as opposed to talking it on Twitter.
True. Well, like Alicia is saying, I liked Mia wearing the black and gold NXT shirt. That is money waiting to happen. They need to do that before they go to the CW, before they could do something weird. Mm-hmm. Karrion Kross doing the black and gold never dies. We need a black and gold versus 2.0 era NXT TV event.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is going to be great. But look, this street fight tonight was a lot of fun. I recommend watching this. Jada Parker got the win. And this is the thing, Meechan, like, Mia Yim made Jada look really, really good. Meechan also looked good. And what I'll tell you is, I think her credibility, aside from, like, if you are not an astute watcher of the wrestling, if you watch a Mia Yim match, you think she's very talented, and each loss is something that could have gone either way. It's only if you look at the meta top-down view that you're like, well, they don't book her to win very often, which is where it gets predictable. But I think she could still have a great winning streak and run if they ever wanted to do that, but that's just not the role they see her in. But that being said, you know, she's been back with the company for a while. She's doing well. Like, you know, there's something to be said for having a career.
I think she, at the end of the day, it's whatever she wants, whatever that person wants, because for me to say, oh, she needs to change her character, she needs a this, and like, because like, what the hell do I know? But if she wants to be in the main eventer, she needs to do this or she needs to do that. For all I know, she's probably perfectly content with being exactly where she is, and there is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that.
AJ Styles is very well paid, and his friends are employed, and he gets to hang out with them to lose to Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, etc.
Yeah.
And put on great matches and still be treated like a top star, even though he has not had the dubs much as of late. The dubs sounds like something you don't want, but in this case, the dubs is something you do want.
I still think before the year's up, he becomes TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
That would be... Then the WWE is definitely buying TNA. Or a stake.
And New Day will be TNA Tag Team Champions by the end of the year.
New Catch Republic took on Hank Walker and Tank Ledger, America's Sweethearts. I don't know. New Catch Republic won this match.
Everything that we said about Mia Yim is like the complete opposite of New Catch Republic, because they're still a lot younger than a lot of people in NXT. Tyler Bates, what, like 26 or 27?
He's been in NXT more than half his life.
I had to remind myself that, oh yeah, they're on the main roster. They were just in that ladder match at WrestleMania. But yeah, it's just a great way to kind of keep them relevant. You know, they're
great
not
way
doing
to keep
much.
Them relevant.
Are they on Raw? I think they're on Raw, right?
I'm not aware.
I'm almost certain they're on Monday Night Raw. And yeah, like I said, it just, you know, the tag division is still kind of developing a lot more. We just saw new tag team champions on Raw last Monday, not this past Monday, but the Monday before. And I feel like the NXT tag team division has suffered a little bit. And I do feel like tonight it was a step in the right direction for that tag division in NXT.
We had a backstage segment with Carmen Petrovich and Ariana Grace. And I'm going to proclaim that Ariana Grace might be the best comedic performer currently working in all of professional wrestling. Definitely top three.
Top three, definitely.
But she might be the best. When she said tonight to Carmen Petrovich, no offense, but I'm more Canadian than you are. she is great. And I think she is ready for whatever WWE or the world, whatever opportunities are available.
I thought she was Italian.
So good. You could still, was she from Canada?
But her dad's from Italy.
Is he?
In the land of kayfabe. Yes, 1,000%. Yeah, I love any time Ariana Grace is on screen. She, again, the comparison is gonna be, I'm not comparing her to Chelsea.
She's funnier than Chelsea Green.
But I'm saying in terms of maximizing every single ounce of seconds that there is when she's on TV. Like, there is nobody better than those two in terms of making sure that, you know, there is no wasted space, no wasted moment whenever they're on screen.
Let me just make this clear. I love Chelsea Green. Chelsea does what you would expect Chelsea to do, which is good. Her character, though, is very defined, and her reaction, her no offense, I'm more Canadian than you are. What a beautiful twist of a concept. Not what was being expected. This was so well done. And I think that she, I don't know that any other performer, even Chelsea Green, could have delivered that in such a real way. That it was just great. It was beautiful. Just I think she has taken to this business. She can wrestle, but her performance and what she brings to my television every week, like, she is just so entertaining to watch. And they use her in very unexpected ways sometimes.
And especially, like, when you said, like, you know, she can wrestle. And it's great because she doesn't even need to, because her character is that defined where she can just go out there and get anything over, whether it's the facial expressions, a body language, whatever it is, and she'll still get over just as much as somebody that can do with the flippies and the technical wrestlings and all that jazz.
The flippies. Yes. So then we had Izzy Dame versus Brinley Reese. This was interesting in that, I mean, the match was good. Izzy Dame won. She did get that soft relaunch a few weeks ago, playing up her volleyball background. And I didn't hear tonight NAPD, non-athletic persons, or what was it? Was it NA? Can't remember what the acronym.
NIL?
No, remember she, in her video package, she said like non-athletic something something.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah, it's bugging me. I can't remember. Someone in the chat's going to remember. So this is part of the Izzy Dame relaunch. But what's interesting about this is, you know, George, it's kind of Brinley Reese losing tonight and being so frustrated and saying, you know, maybe needs to stop the team with Inofe and Blade. I think a change for Brinley is good, because we can't have Carly Bright, Brinley Reese, Izzy Dame, and to an extent, Thea Hale. We can't have all the, I'm super athletic, which is the problem with the NIL signees, that they all kind of get the same gimmick. Non-athletic, regular person. Thank you, Baby Ice.
A NARP.
Yes, a NARP, that's right. We can't have the ARPs and the NARPs. You know, so it's
hey, you take the good, you take the bad, and you take them both, and there you have.
I know, but I think that something needs to change. We can't have an NIL person being like, I'm an amazing athlete. It's like, yeah, we get it. It's not why we watch wrestling. What's your cultural background?
That's one of my biggest criticisms on the Wednesday show, because everybody's like, oh, this person wrestles so well, this person this, like, everybody wrestles really good.
Show me
something different.
I wish I could hold out a mic to the chat, and George, I could say, you know, if it's the year 2024 and your gimmick is that you're an excellent professional wrestler, what does that mean, chat? It means you have no gimmick.
That was great. Yeah, I mean, it's no secret just how much I wasn't really a fan of the Brinley Reese gimmick. Too much like Thea Hell. Too much, you know.
You're not Brin active.
Too much peppy. But I will. Too peppy. Yeah, too peppy. But I will say, the after segment really intrigued me, because you saw like a some kind of development with the character, in terms of, you know what, you know, just tell me that you don't want me around or something to that extent. And you know, I've been very critical about Idris and Malik. That's more semantic. Just, that's more like, give me a name, just give me any kind of tag team name, anything, just to show me that you guys are a team, not just what I see on TV, but, you know, show me that you guys are some kind of a united front. So yeah, I this has got me more invested into them than anything else I've seen from either one of them in the past year or 2 years, however long they've been around.
Yes, she needs to become Bryn Raged to become Bryn Credible. That's the key. So Izzy Dame wins this round of the Secret Wars, where there can be only one. The crisis of limited gimmicks. Not infinite gimmicks.
Izzy Dame has probably the most best RBF.
Hmm. I know what that means.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't see her being a babyface anytime soon.
And I like Brinley Reese. You know, I heard through the grapevine Brinley Reese is a fan of this podcast, or at least she's heard of it before. So,
I mean, Brinley, I love
we're
you
rooting
too.
For you.
Yeah.
We're rooting
great.
For you.
Yeah.
Then we went to the Chase U classroom. And oh, this gave me such joy, George. We're back in Chase U. We're back in the classroom. Andre Chase is talking about teachable moments. He's talking about history with the Street Profits retaining in Toronto. It was nice. And everyone's feeling the vibes at Chase U until Ridge Holland is exposed for helping the cheat to win the match. He wasn't excused. I don't know if he maybe doesn't get to go to Toronto. But I like that there's some Chase U, some classic Chase U in advance of their tag team championship match against Fraxium at the Heat Wave.
One of my biggest regrets in life, aside from not going to the only ECW pay-per-view that existed in Los Angeles, and it was on my birthday. I don't know why I never went. But that's not signing up for Chase U after high school, because I would totally ace that pretty much almost every class. If they're talking about championship wins in Toronto, oh my God, I am so good at championship wins from Toronto. I'm going back to WrestleMania 6, Warrior against Hogan, you know, Demolition beating the Colossal Connection. They mentioned DIY defeating the Revival / FTR. So when they were discussing this, if this was a Jeopardy category, I would have nailed every single question, or I guess you could say answer with a question.
Yeah. Love this segment. Then Roxanne Perez and Lola Vice met inside the ring ahead of their championship match. Takeover or takeover Heatwave. It's still Takeover to me, damn it. always. Lola Vice with the babyface turn of all babyface turns tonight.
Yeah.
And still attacked the security after the mat after that.
So this was obviously very emotional for Lola. It's hard to be critical about anything because this is real life. You know, we're not, you know, now we're escaping the land of kayfabe, but this is real life. Yeah. My only thing is, you know, while I applaud her for being so brave and letting people know and opening up a lot more of who the Lola Vice character is, I feel like the best is when you're able to combine that real life with that pro wrestling aura around it. And I feel like it was too much of the real life. And maybe she couldn't help it. Maybe obviously emotions got the best of her, and that could have all been legit. But it feels like we saw too much of the real life. And I feel like Roxanne could have been. She mentioned something like, for example, I like her response where, like, yes, I applaud your story, but everybody back there wants to call their mom after they win it. You know, after they win a championship. Mm-hmm. And that was such a good like rebuttal to everything that Lola said. But then there was nothing else pro wrestling that was after that. It was just too much real and not enough. Like I'm rooting for Lola, but I wish there was a little bit more, you know, more of a back and forth and a wrestling standpoint as opposed to the real life aspect of it.
Hmm. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I could see Lola winning. I think she would be good as champion. I think she's entertaining. Huge connection with the crowd. That was the real... her connection with the crowd at Battleground really, really stuck out to me.
Uh-huh.
You know? Like up there with Wesley and others who just the crowd really likes.
I'm just happy that we got to hear a theme song because that is a banger.
Yeah, that's good. So that match will happen. But yeah, she hit one of the guards. Oro Mensa took on Miles Bourne from the No Quarter Catch crew. Oro got the win.
I don't know what it is. I'm not feeling the No Quarter Catch crew.
Not a big fan of the NQCC?
No, I don't know what it is. I'm just not feeling it. I guess I mentioned before, I don't know if it's the Jeff Daniels haircut from Dumb and Dumber on Charlie Dempsey. I don't know if it's like, is this what they thought they wanted Gabe Stevenson to be in terms of Damon Kemp? I don't know. There's something that just not, like, if this was on the main roster, this would be like totally fast forward television. But again, this is what NXT is for. This NXT is a little bit more experimental, and I'll always give them a pass. But just for now, I'm not really feeling this thing.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think there's an audience for this, but the NQCC is the most AEW thing on it.
They are this is gonna be sound so bad. They are what to NXT. What's the group on AEW that has like Aria Davari, the premier athletes, whatever they are? Yeah. That's them. Okay. Where it's like we see them and they're just kind of there to fill body. Obviously, there's one guy that they have more hopes than anyone else, considering who's his dad is. And God bless him. He's getting a lot of cool reps too in terms of going to All Japan and, you know, being in TNA, and he's the one, you know, he's able to go to a lot of different places, and that's amazing. I just hope that at some point, and that's going to sound so mean, it translates to being like actually entertaining.
Okay.
In NXT.
Okay. Alicia talking about Charlie Dempsey trying to be Tony D. They should have gone further with that. He should have full on single white female Tony D'Angelo. That would have been a storyline. But okay. Moving on. Let's talk about what happened next on the show after Oro Mensa got that win. We had Gallus backstage brawling with Tyreek Igwe and Tyson DuPont. Back from the break, we did have that Brinley Reese, Nijer, Snofe, and Malik Blade moment where it seems like their friendship might be at a crossroads. But then we had Wendy Chu, who, oh, dark Wendy Chu, dreams of the Firefly Funhouse at night, I just assume. It wouldn't surprise me if they end up going that route. But Wendy Chu took on and beat Carly Bright pretty handily.
Yeah, this was just mostly about getting the Wendy Chu character over. This was
getting
fun.
Over. Wendy Chu is over.
Yeah, getting her more over than when she already is. I was expecting a little bit maybe of a Kelly appearance considering her tweet.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's some point where we'll see in the future. Yeah, like I said, it served its purpose. I really have no complaints about this. I'm not trying to sit there and pretend like it should have been a Matt classic. Yeah, it was what it needed to be. And that is the more evolution of the character of Wendy Chu. And I dig it. I love it.
People really, really are responding to her. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I mean, she's always been a lot of fun.
Although, I mean, I would have liked to have seen more of maybe why she's a little bit more on the dark side, but I feel like that'd be stepping on whatever they're doing with Bo Dallas and that story on Mondays, because that just is all types of phenomenal. So, you know, maybe it is trying to find that balance of not trying to be like one, but, you know, different strokes for different folks.
I had to leave the room during the broadcast. Did they show the Shawn Michaels Brooks Jensen video they posted on Twitter? Okay.
Yes.
So they addressed on TV what's been happening with Brooks Jensen and his rogue appearances. Do you think this is, I mean, this was the first real like addressing of it. Do you think this is working out, this storyline?
I think so far it has worked out. Now it's all about the execution, and that's going to fall 100% on Brooks Jensen.
Yeah, we'll see. I anticipate there'll be something that happens at Heatwave with that.
Yeah, well, I think they announced that they were going to have, he was inviting Brooks Jensen to NXT next week to have a meeting with Ava.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. I don't think he's going to have any kind of presence at Heatwave, but I do think they're already planning something out for next week's NXT.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So I re-entered the room when this was happening. Carmen Petrovic versus Jasmine Nix with JC Jane. Carmen Petrovic, less Canadian than Ariana Grace, and lost to Jasmine Nix.
This was another one. I liked it. I liked it. We have two ladies that
two females
that are really, really good. I feel like sky's the limit for both these women. It's different kind of seeing Carmen by herself, especially with having that natty presence for that she's had, you know, last month or so. So now she's got to go solo. Now she's got, it's going to lead up to a later segment. JC Jane, I think, is highly, highly talented, and it's only a matter of time before she becomes, hopefully, NXT Women's Champion.
Why do you think so?
She's somebody that I don't think we've realized how long she's been there. Trying to think, has there anyone been there longer than her now? Now that Tyler Bate finally got called up.
JC was signed before Gigi Dolan was.
Yeah, because she was like the very last, like she was on like the last or second to last show of the Black and Gold. So that just goes to show how long she's been in NXT 2.0 for. I guess Gigi, but Gigi's hurt, and we're seeing a lot more JC Jane on TV. Which, by the way, her look is a lot more menacing now with the Cody Rhodes mask and everything.
The two masks, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if one mask is menacing, two. Oh my God, look out! So there's gonna be a tag match with JC and Jasmine versus Carmen and Ariana Grace. So the Canadians are going to be on the pre-show.
That's going to be fun. Yeah, I'm hoping that the Toronto crowd, which I'm sure they will, gives, because I'm sure she trained at Santino School, which is in Toronto, right?
Did she? I mean, I guess it would make sense.
It would make sense. I don't think the first time she ever stepped in a ring was in NXT. I mean, I'm just going to assume that was probably her first experience being there. So, you know, it's always cool to have a little homecoming. I can't remember his name. The DJ.
Oh, Eddie Thorpe. Yes.
Eddie Thorpe.
He got into it backstage with Alexis King.
There needs to be some kind of quality control, because when he was doing his little DJ thing, there were a lot of people on the dance floor not moving at all.
Wow.
I'm like, you gotta shoot people actually having fun there, guys.
Dissing Eddie Thorpe's DJ skills. George Hermosa, the heel.
I'm going to make a little phone call to somebody I know that works there and be like, hey, man, what the hell?
I like Eddie Thorpe. I like that they brought the DJ gimmick back. NXT has a bit of a habit of sometimes giving somebody like three different gimmicks to launch with, and then they lose all but one. Mm-hmm. So I like that we kind of got a callback to this.
Didn't what's his face have a DJ gimmick? DJ Zima Ion? You walk Joaquin Wild?
I don't recall.
I think he had a DJ gimmick in TNA.
Then after that, we had the main event segment. In the overrun, Trick Williams, Ethan Page, Sean Spears, and Javon Evans facing off ahead of their four-way match for the NXT Championship at Heatwave. What did you think of this? And Javon Evans throwing some shade at Mr. Sean Spears.
I don't know if I've been. This is going to go off tangent, and I'm sure I'm hoping Please. That you'll join me, will you? Maybe I've been listening to too much Kendrick recently, where I was thinking about it, and I'm just like, wrestling has the unique capability to for us to witness like a weekly diss track. And I
when
feel
done
like,
right, yes.
Yeah, and I feel like this is what it needed to be. Because after that, I started listening to No Vaseline and a couple other diss tracks.
I don't think they're going to go that hard.
Well, yeah, they're not going to go
Heller
hard.
References on
but
NXT,
the,
just
but the much. But the mindset, I just feel like we need to see more, and especially with Trick. Oh man, maybe I'm in the minority. I feel like he's lost a little pizzazz since becoming a champion. I don't think he's been elevated as much as he should have been since beating Ilya Dragunov. I feel like we've seen him kind of maybe like flatline a little bit. I need to see Trick do things that we've never seen him do before, and I feel like we haven't seen that since him being champion. And especially with the promo that he had with Ethan Page right before Battleground, I think he completely struck out. And I feel like this was another one where he had the opportunity to really, really diss some people, I guess you can say, And I don't think he did that. I think it was mostly Ethan Page and Sean Spears that really held themselves together, held the segment together on the mic.
I thought it was interesting when Javon did the mic crowd moment and they all said bouncy. I was like, ooh, that was a little risky. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like it took people a second to realize that's what they were supposed to say.
Yeah.
This was good. This was, you know, it's that four-way match. I mean, I think Trick's retaining. This is one of those weird phases, kind of like post Stand and Deliver, or not Stand and Deliver, post Takeover Dallas in 2016, where it's like, okay, we're just kind of waiting. And then that year they were waiting for the draft. Finn Balor had his swan song. Bayley finished up her work over that time period.
This, American Alpha.
Yeah, this Nia just Jax. Feels a lot like they're just waiting to get to the CW, man.
But even I was thinking about that too, but I wouldn't even say CW. I'd say more so. Wait, are they doing? I don't think they're doing a PLE for SummerSlam weekend, right?
I don't know. It's not two nights this year, though.
It's not two nights. Well, you know what's funny? It's like there were so many people that complained, like, oh, I can't believe WrestleMania is two nights. Oh, I can't believe that SummerSlam is going to be two nights in a couple years. When you really think about it, for the last like 10 years, it's been two nights. They just called it NXT TakeOver and WrestleMania, or they called it NXT TakeOver and SummerSlam, because we saw two nights of like top tier shows. So I don't know why everybody's getting up in a.
And let me tell you something I picked up on tonight, because, you know, I have a version of ESP. It's not a sixth sense. It's something that I notice things, George, in my mind, and I make connections. And commentary said bad blood like three times tonight, maybe more. Three that I heard.
Do you think they're bringing in Taylor Swift?
No, I think there was talk of WWE trademarking to bring back the bad blood PLE. I think it's going to be an NXT PLE. Oh,
man, you had me hope that we were going to see a nice Swiftie appearance.
She's got so many songs. Anything could be a Taylor Swift reference.
But not as big as bad blood. Next, you know, they're going to leave a blank space for a future.
Is that her biggest song? I would argue that's her biggest song.
I don't know. That's like a rabbit hole in terms of, like, I would say maybe like Love Story.
Early, sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, everyone knows Blank Space.
Me personally, that's maybe like one of my top five blank. Yeah. I think Blank
Shake
Space
It Off.
Shake It Off. I don't even like that song. I'm not a big Shake It Off fan. Bad Blood is the only song I like. Is it one with or without Kendrick Lamar?
You know, I mean, 1989. I think 1989 is a phenomenal album.
I think Speak Now is a very underrated and just amazing album. That should have won Grammy of the Year.
How'd you feel? Never mind. I'm not going to get into this. So anyhow, that was NXT tonight. Good show. Heat Wave coming up this Sunday. Money in the Bank coming up Saturday. What's Wrestling Inc. doing to commemorate these events with the post-show podcast?
There will be a post-show for both Money in the Bank and NXT Heatwave. And guess who's going to be on it? This
Kendrick Lamar?
That'd be cool. I'll make a phone call. I know Jimmy Corderas is going to be at Money in the Bank on Saturday. I don't know if he's going to be at NXT Heatwave. That'd be cool. I'd love for him to call in and be like, hey, give us your live thoughts the way that I thought you should have called in after the NXT Battleground.
I was so annoying. I was like walking around and I was like, okay, is there any talent? Is there anyone I can interview? Is there anything going on? Like, and so I talked to someone on the I talked to a couple of people on the production crew. Like, it was good.
I forgot if I asked this before. How far was the Apex to like the strip?
Like 10 to 15 minutes. It's out. It's right near IKEA.
And where is IKEA? Because I don't know. I don't
to the to this. The west of the strip. Like, it's closer to the 215, or is off the 215, not off the 95. So yeah, it was a ways from the strip.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna give our predictions for Heatwave. Do you have the card open?
I can have the card open.
I got it here. Let's talk about Fraxium. I can't believe they're using that. I swear I said that, just I pulled that out of thin air a couple weeks ago.
Or do you want to do the pre-show first?
Oh yeah, we could talk about the pre-show. I think the baby faces, I think Petrovic and Grace are getting the win against Jane and Nyx.
I'm going to go with Nyx and Jane.
Okay.
You can't, I mean, you can because they do it all the time, but you can't just have like a random like tag team just beat an established one. Like
they're Canadian in Canada. That's a superpower. That's a buff.
But this is the first time they're working together, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, the Fabulous Rougeau brothers had a few losses in Canada, but then again, they faced the Hart Foundation a lot, I'm sure.
Do you think they get a real Canada entrance and are walked out by a combination of members of Bare Naked Ladies and cast members from Degrassi?
Hopefully, and Alanis Morissette.
Oh, okay. Sure. We'll toss that in. You know, it was just Canada Day. The people are still celebrating.
Oh, wait, Alanis Morissette is Canadian, right?
Yes.
Okay, I think they'll be head over feet if she shows up. You know, I'm surprised Orange Cassidy never came out the hand in my pocket.
Solid.
Solid.
What do you think?
I guess because she only has one hand in her pocket as opposed to two. Okay, sorry. I'll stop.
I think Ariana getting a big win. She can do her beauty queen parade wave. Like, it would be lovely.
There is probably more money to be made in them winning just so Ariana can brag about how she, even if she doesn't score the pinfall, she can claim that she was the cause of the victory and she can, you know, use that going forward.
She could say they threw her a parade in Canada, across all of Canada.
Yeah.
Okay, who do you think is going to win between Fraxium? Can't believe they used that on Twitter. Fraxium versus Chase U.
Well, we didn't talk about it today, but it just seems like there's this kind of hot and cold relationship with Fraxium in terms of you have Nathan Frazier prepping for his match on WWE Speed with Xavier Woods, and that's kind of coinciding with them actually being the current tag team champions. With that said, I'm going to go Chase U. I think they are pulling the trigger once again on Chase U. It feels like they're hot and cold. We saw them win the tag team champions about a year ago or so. And I feel like they're going to do a lot more in this new title reign that they're going to have.
Yeah, I think that Chase U needs this.
Chase U needs it, but also like it's still planting a lot more seeds of whatever is going on with the Fraxium thing. On like, oh, well, we lost because you were too focused on your match on Speed or whatever it is. You know?
Yeah, that sounds different when you say it out loud that way. But that's a Degrassi episode, you know.
Do you think Drake will show up?
Probably not Drake. I think they might be able to get the guy that played Craig. Paige Michaelchuk.
I have like no clue who these people are.
Maybe Spinner.
Maybe Degrassi Toby. Was like right after my generation.
Which one? Well, there's the original Degrassi Junior High or
all of
Degrassi
them.
Street. So they could get Joey Jeremiah, like in the original.
Because I grew up with like Saved by the Bell and California Dreams.
Okay, so you were right after the original Degrassi, right before the new one. But I like as an adult, I watched the new Degrassi.
But like I didn't even know what Degrassi was.
Oh.
Like, what channel was it on?
It's on PBS originally in the U.S., the original
PBS.
One.
PBS?
Well, it was on the CBC in Canada. They showed it in the PBS in the U.S. But then Degrassi The Next Generation was on The N, which was a Nickelodeon channel for teenagers.
I mean, the only show that PBS ever did that was really, really, really good, aside from the obvious, was Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Okay. Not Reading Rainbow?
Aside from the obvious, I said Sesame Street, Rogers, Rainbow, 3-2-1 Contact. I always wanted to be on Where in the World is Carmen. Okay. I would have killed on that show. But you
maybe,
know.
Well, you know, Rockapella is still out there.
Oh my God. Rockapella is one of the most underrated groups in the history of the world. They did
history of the world.
What other theme song did they do?
I don't know.
They did something else that was like very, very like notable.
Okay, well, we'll figure that out. So Obafemi is going to take on Wes Lee for the NXT North American Championship. If Wes Lee loses, this is it.
I've said it before. Wes Lee is way too good for the North American Championship. And you know, I'm trying to find a balance of make the title mean something. But like he's in that weird spot where it's like he's trying to make something, you know, make the title mean something, but also like, dude, like you're good enough to go after the main championship.
Yeah. I mean, and I think he will. I think that's next.
But with that said, I do think Obafemi is winning. Winning.
Obafemi is looking great week in and week out. Let's talk about that Women's North American Championship match. Kalani Jordan versus Sol Ruka. Sol Ruka's winning this, right?
By the way, I want to give props to myself.
Oh.
Because I called that this was going to be the next main matchup for Kalani Jordan. And Sol Ruka was going to be the first big challenger, especially on a PLE. So this is the match that I want to see the most this weekend. This is going to be one of the most athletic, one of the most innovative. We're going to see so many cool things. We saw those two vignettes from both Kalani and Sol Ruka. So, you know, we'll probably see a match maybe closer to what we saw years ago with Ricochet and Will Ospreay. That said, I see Kalani Jordan retaining the women's North. You know what? I have a small rant. If we're talking about Kalani Jordan, I don't think let's say we're talking about this match. I don't feel like I need to say, oh, she's going to retain the women's North American Championship. It should just be the North American Championship in regards to, you know what I mean? Like, oh, so Kalani is going to retain the NXT North American Championship. And there should be no confusing on, oh, well, you didn't say women's, or do you mean, like, no, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like you personally, but you know, the people that I'm.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. The folks out there.
They remember they made that deal with the NXT Women's Championship where they were like, it's just the NXT Championship. It's like, they kind of went back on that. Yeah. I agree, but some people need that. Some people need that.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm saying like, hey, I like the North American match, the North American Championship match the most. Yeah, maybe I should say men or women. But if I'm talking about Kalani and I'm talking about this segment, you know, I don't feel the need to say the Women's North American Championship. What we already know, we're talking about Sol Ruka or Kalani Jordan.
Yes, like I say, I called somebody on the telephone. What are you saying? Telephone. We know there's a telephone.
Yeah.
You know, Sol's winning this. She will be North American champion. See?
I disagree. I
there? Well, okay. Kalani's great, though, but I think this is going to be a good match. Let's talk about Roxanne Perez versus Lola Vice for the NXT championship. What I did there?
As you should. This to me is the biggest toss up. Cause I feel like Roxanne is hitting her stride as a heel champion. There is some, tone issues in regards to how her presentation as a heel is. I saw glimpses of it tonight before I went back to our hearing the kind of like the babyface Roxanne. I feel like there's still something there for her to grow. It's hard to root against Lola now, though.
I know.
It's really hard.
Pictures of her mom and her as a baby, and it's like, oh man, like. And I'm sorry, like being there in person and seeing how Lola was after that NXT Underground match, thanking fans that were wearing her merch, like off camera. Like, I'm just like, Lola Vice is a babyface, folks. She could shake it and she can throw down. She's a babyface.
She will always find a reason to dance. And I love that.
Loved when she's that in Bellator. What a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. I like that she reminded everybody, like, hey, man, when you were still watching Total Divas, I was literally fighting in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah,
that was back in 2019. So yeah, Roxanne was like 15 or 16. Oh, I'm gonna go with Roxanne. I think Roxanne's gonna retain. Okay. I don't know when Julia's coming in. Although I'm calling it right now, within 1 year, Stephanie Vaquer is gonna be in NXT.
Okay. NXT Men's Championship match. See what I did there? It's a fatal four-way. Trick Williams versus Javon Evans versus Ethan Page versus Sean Spears. Okay, Trick Williams is winning this. Like, I'm more certain of this than anything else on the card.
I'm trying to, I mean, if there's one person that's not winning, it's Javon Evans. I mean, the guy's 19.
Well, okay, maybe I'm going to work myself into a shoot here. Maybe I'm overthinking this. What if Sean wins and then Trick chases going back to the CW debut?
Like, I'm trying to find reasons for Ethan Page or Sean Spears to win.
Sean's a better champ than Ethan is. And I like Ethan.
Yeah. I would have Sean over Ethan.
Sean and Ethan, by the way, not great champion wrestling names.
Well, I mean, Sean.
Sean, I mean, Sean's, yeah, it's had some, but it's also like, why don't we have
Sean,
an Elliot?
Sean more than Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan.
Has there been an Elliot in wrestling?
Ethan's a tough one. Ethan's a tough one.
Yeah. I'd say Sean more than Ethan has a chance of winning. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Trick as well. I don't see him losing.
I kind of like it, though. Sean pins Ethan. That's a twist. No one saw that coming.
I wouldn't be surprised if Trick wins and then Ethan and Sean become some kind of champion. Or I'm sorry, some kind of tag team.
Well, yeah. What if Sean wins and then says, "My name is Ty Dillinger," and then throws down the mic and leaves? Yeah, and does that. Ty Dillinger is a badass name. I agree with Nelly Belly.
Remember, he was Gavin Spears in ECW.
Yeah, Gavin also not a strong.
Yeah.
Championship name.
That's like, well, what's his face? Chris Harris when he came in as Braden Walker.
Really?
I mean, I know that he didn't show up in the greatest shape, but yeah, there's no winning with Braden.
I agree.
Sorry to anybody out there named Braden.
No, it's fine. Like, it's good.
Glenn, great name.
Yeah, Glenn's not a big champ name.
Gee, and even like George, it's like George is only good if the animal,
George the something.
Yeah, it can't just be George something. It needs to be Gorgeous George or George the Animal or, you know.
George the Bookkeeper.
Yeah.
Because he keeps books because he reads. He's the bookkeeper.
I do read a lot. Although it's funny, like I've actually read more non-wrestling books in the last 2-3 years than wrestling books. So that's a shame.
I like to listen to audiobooks or read summaries, executive summaries.
For wrestling or non-wrestling?
Just in general. Summarize for me.
I was having a conversation with Jack Farmer. And he was saying,
way to drop names. Let me pick this up and hand it back to you.
Yeah, that's right. And he was saying, can you say you read a book if you listen to the audiobook?
See, the Becky Lynch audiobook, which I'm going to finish this weekend, is wonderful because it's like you're hanging out with Becky Lynch.
Uh-huh.
It's better than reading the book because injects so much of her personality into it.
But it's like, that's how I felt when I read the first Jericho book. When I read the first Jericho book or even like the Justin Roberts book, I'm like, man, these guys are so cool. Yeah. And they're just so funny. Like they're just so funny, funny guys. Yeah, I just curious, like people's opinion on like, can you say you read a book when you only listen to the audiobook?
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. That makes sense. I mean, I say listened more often than not, but I get it. So anyhow, that's what's coming up. Tune in to Wrestling Inc. after Money in the Bank. After Heatwave.
Tune into Wrestling Inc. this Wednesday, this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Wait, we're going to be on a lot in the next week.
We should do
a TNA review show.
Just
for the hell of it this Thursday.
Well, I'm going to miss a couple shows, but then when I come back, George, it's the Glenn Rubenstein Wrestling Inc. 8th anniversary tour. We're celebrating 8 years that I've been hosting this podcast.
Let's
maybe we'll play a clip from my first episode.
Ooh, that I want to see.
Yeah.
Or I can just look it up on YouTube. It's all on YouTube, right?
Yeah, it's like July 21st or something, 2016. Oh, wow. Yeah, so that'll be exciting.
Right around my birthday.
Oh, well, there you go. What if better anything, present?
Than I think history? I think my birthday falls on a Tuesday this year.
That's exciting. Make a 5-day weekend out of it.
Yeah.
Now I'm old enough, I just announced that it's birthday week. I'm taking the entire week for my birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody follow George at G Hermosa. I am at Glenn Rubenstein. I will see y'all real soon. Have a great Money in the Bank. Have a great heat wave. Catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.